Thank you very much for accepting all my emails over the course of the past 2 weeks. My name is Lori Kemi. I have twin boys who just turned 6 September 1st. They both attended kindergarten last school year. My sons were born 11 weeks premature and spent the first 3 months of their life in the hospital. At 5 months old, we began services for the boys. They got OT, PT, speech, and play therapy. We continued to get these services right up until kindergarten. They started kindergarten in September of 2007. Being that they were both socially and emotionally delayed, they had difficulty in class transitioning and staying on task. We often got notes home about tantrums and inappropriate behavior. We worked with the teachers and school psychologists to minimize these outbursts by using behavior charts and work charts. It worked for the most part, but the boys always seemed frustrated. They rarely, if ever, interacted with the other students. It is quite common for children born premature to be socially and emotionally delayed. My boys definitely displayed these characteristics. They were very immature for their age and had a hard time relating to the other children in their class. Throughout the year, we met with both of the boys' teachers and the related service providers. We expressed our concerns, and the possibility of retaining the boys in kindergarten was a consideration. This was not a consideration that was taken lightly. I've been a teacher for 11 years. I've taught grades from pre-K through fifth grade. The past 2 years, I've been teaching first grade, and I've rarely considered holding students over. In my boys' case, it just seemed like the right choice. Even though they were meeting the requirements academically, they were socially and emotionally behind their peers. The teachers and the principal were all in agreement that retention was the best thing. The year-end report card stated that they would repeat kindergarten. My husband and I spent many hours over the summer explaining to the boys why they would be going back to kindergarten and how it was a good thing and how they would make many new friends. I don't know if they really understood, but they almost seemed relieved. In August, we received our class assignments for kindergarten. 2 weeks before school was set to start, we received a call from Jill Garish, the assistant superintendent. She informed us that the district disagreed with the school's decision to retain my sons. We immediately set up a meeting with her to discuss this matter. 3 days after the meeting, she got back to us to tell us that the district's final decision was to promote the boys. We contacted a lawyer who told us that it would be very difficult and expensive to appeal this decision, and our chances of winning were slim. She explained that we'd be better off saving the money and using it for private school. My husband and I have always been proactive parents and have never been in denial about our boys' problems. We never believed it was solely the school's responsibility to educate our children. We spend countless hours reading, writing, and drawing with them. The decision we made was not an easy one, but it was the right one. The teachers agreed, and the principal agreed. I could have never imagined when I moved to Sachem 2 years ago that such an important decision could be made about my boys by people who never even met them. I'm begging you as board members to look to your conscience. Take the time to think about whether or not my children's best interest is being considered, or is there some other agenda. Trust in the parents who love these children, the teachers who know these children, and the principal who has the experience to know what's best for the students in her school. Whatever your decision, my husband and I appreciate you giving us the opportunity to speak out on this matter. If you have any questions, we will be happy to meet with you in private. And just a footnote, I just received word from one of my son's teachers that he was lost when the daily routine directions were given today. He didn't understand or follow the other class when it was time to put their school bag in the cubby. Thank you. Thank you very much. Great. Well, we're going to be staying after, and we'll wait for the decision if you don't mind. Thank you very much.
We'll pass this to Bruce, you're going to do the introductions today?
Sure, in a few minutes I'll call up Nancy, but I just want to read to the board the Outstanding Service Program Award that Nancy was awarded. She received a $500 award from her organization, and the nominating candidate, she's not only a member of the committee, but her the basis, the criteria for the nomination was innovative use of commodities, implementing healthy recipes which are popular with our students, the extent to which Choose Sensibly, which is nutritious meals in our schools, the overall appeal of the school offered, the fresh ideas for merchandising, the extent to which Nancy used fresh fruits and vegetables are served on a daily basis, the appeal of approach and a theme in inviting ambience in the cafeteria, responsiveness to the students and the school community in planning the meals and the a la carte offerings, and the high daily participation in our school. As you know, Nancy oversees one of the largest operations in the state of New York, with over 15,000 students serving, and we have our meals increasing each year for the last few years, which is a testament to her hard work and certainly deserving of this award. In addition, there's a couple of people we'd like to recognize who are behind the scenes, and there's some cooks in the audience that we'd also like to thank for their hard work, and also Susan from Seneca is here, Frida from Gatelot, Lorette from East, Jean from North, and Lorraine from Grundy, and Diane from Waverly. And these are the hardworking cook managers in all of our schools who actually, on a day-to-day operation, one of the hardest working groups in the school district, the school lunch program. So I just want to thank Nancy for the outstanding achievement and the award, and for the school lunch workers in the Sachem School District. Thank you very much.
Bid awards. Any motion, please? John, second. Doug, all in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. Action items. Approval of shared services contract for 208-209 school year. A motion, please. John, second. Jim LaCaruba. Any questions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. Approval of field trips for 208-209 school year. A motion, please. Mike Timo, second. Rob, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is carried. Approval of late transportation request for 208-209 school year.
Motion.
Rob is first. John, second. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. I'd like a motion to skip four, go to the presentation, and then we could vote on the on number four. Is that agreed? Can I have a motion?
So moved.
Mike, Timo, and John, we're going to move that until we have the discussion. All right, Carol? Okay. Dr. Murphy, we have...
Well, John Conway can help me out with this. I know there was a board member who requested that we show the Chippewa video of their STEP program. And we have the principal here today, Pat Pontius from Chippewa. She's also here. And we just wanted to share this. Well, you want to face the video towards the board? You want to go out there? Okay.
Thank you.
We're sorry, ladies and gentlemen, but due to technical difficulties, we will not see the video tonight. I guess we could move on right to the, are there any questions? Well, let's have a motion in a second first, and then we'll ask questions. We're on number four, page three, approval to increase increase of 11 a la carte items for the 208-209 school year. Motion, please. Rob, second. Sal, any questions? Rob, go ahead.
How often do we increase these items, and when was the last time we increased
Nancy,
them?
You can come on.
Yeah, Nancy, come to the microphone, please.
The last time we increased the items was school year 2003-04.
Two, three, and four, okay. John, question.
Charlie, how do these prices stand compared to our surrounding schools?
It seemed to me when we did the survey, it was on the lower end of our neighbors. But as I said in my note, and Nancy may disagree with me, and you know, and Bruce, we were having going back and forth. We really want to take as long as possible to try to pass on like full lunch costs on to the community. But if you think after hearing Nancy that it's a good idea to look at the other areas, but we picked out 11 a la carte items to try to do something that's going to help at least Nancy get to a break-even point for next year. And even that is suspect with the 11 items here, that she feels that she'll be in the red next year as far as her food program. Expenses will outweigh revenues. But we wanted to, because she has such a strong fund balance, we wanted to limit the increases possibly until 09-10 and not do it yet. But I'd rather let Nancy just go into it before we even take a vote, because she has, I know she wants to talk about a little bit the fund balance, a little bit the school lunch prices, and the software. Last year she was on target with her projection. She thought she would be at about a break-even point. In fact, she made about $100,000 in the food program, but that didn't account for the food service worker increases, because they're still in negotiations and no increase has been passed on. So if there is a settlement, that $100,000 may end up going right to the workers, and that's what she was projecting all along. So Nancy's pretty good about her targets, and she's right on. So Nancy, I don't know if you want to add to that.
Well, unfortunately this year, as everyone is aware, if you go to the gas station or the supermarket, everything has gone up astronomically, and I did provide you with 30 items that happen to be the core items of cooking. And one that really stands out is, you know, we use a lot of rice in our district, and brown rice went from $15 a case to $28. So you can't absorb that with any type of, without an increase somewhere. And oil, flour, everything has just gone sky high in 1 year. And I did show you what we were paying in 03-04. And from 03-04 to 07-08, we had very minor, maybe 2 or 3% food increases. But this school year, it looks to me like we're going to have about 15% overall, with some items being 100% increase, and some maybe even minus 1%. But overall, the cost of operations for supplies and food will be 15% more than last year.
Any other questions? Jim?
Yeah, Nancy.
Yes.
This, I'm assuming that the $200,000 number on the other memo, that's what you're anticipating to get off of these increases?
That's correct.
So that would be the impact if it doesn't pass well?
Yes.
John?
Question?
Joe?
Nancy, the numbers of the free and reduced lunch this year compared to last year so far, have they gone up?
I don't have a total yet for this year, because the students that were approved in last year's school year are the same through September. Okay. So until October 1st, I won't know what the exact total is.
Okay.
We have seen an increase in the number of applications that we have to process. And I will also say we've seen an increase in the number of applications that we actually have to deny. So I believe that the population is also feeling the increase in cost, and hoping that the lunch program, they might be able to be approved for free or reduced. but that's a federally mandated program with specific amounts, so there is no.
I think we do have
more applications.
I think last year's number was 11%.
Yeah, we're about 11%.
Any other questions, Doug?
Yeah, Nancy, if these increases are not approved tonight, can your fund balance handle the hit that would take then?
Well, there is a fund balance of $1.5 million, so yes.
Okay.
Have any other questions? Is that it?
The only thing to consider on this is, you know, when you start to look at it, is what's going to be the increase for the following year to start to make up for the compounding each year of
right.
increases. So that's the only thing you do have to look at, that there is going to be we're recommending the increase with the 11 items, but there will be a compounding effect if prices continue to escalate and if there's more expenses in labor.
I think Rob was first then.
2 years ago, and Bruce, I'm sure you remember, we took money out of the budget for food service to pay 1 month's worth of utilities. Are we still doing that?
Yes. Yeah, actually, carding now, $115,000. You're right.
Right.
Just carding that utility as far as, I think it was electric last
time. Last year we did electricity, this year carding. But yes, the food, that's one of the options that the general fund can absorb before we go to the school lunch fund balance. Actually, we're projecting a $400,000 deficit. This is only to cover half. The other half is the code that you're talking about and postponing equipment purchases until next spring to see how we really are. So the problem is really a lot greater than just these 11 items. This is only half of the problem. But because of the carding to charge this cafeteria fund and the postponing of equipment, that's how I'm going to handle it to hopefully break even by June of 2009.
Mike, did you have any questions?
Yeah, we do have a fund balance right now of what was the amount again? $1.5 million.
The recommended amount by the State Education Department is 3 months operating cost, and we're at that point that we do have that recommended amount.
Right, so we have a $1.5 million cushion right now.
Yes.
The school, what would you feel would be the implementation of this were approved? How long would it take to implement the increases?
Tomorrow morning.
Be like tomorrow morning. the signs are already printed, in other words.
No.
My only objection would be...
I would have to go through on the computer, and I would expect you would give me a date. But, you know, if you start out charging the less amount and then in 2 weeks increase it, you're going to have a lot of people,
Right.
No. Although school has only started, you know...
Today.
So, you know, one day is already one day that the school started. I would have felt a whole lot more comfortable had we had an opportunity to make the price increase effective first day of school, rather than have them, you know, do this and then we have a board meeting and decide that things are 30 cents or 10 cents or,
well,
you know, what may seem to be a minor increase. You know, to me it just, and it's not due to poor planning on your part, I think the timing of it is just what I would more object to. So, you know, I would have liked to have seen it if we were going to do this. I'd rather do this at the start of school year. And this, we're already a day in, but it's the start of school year already.
Right.
They've started. They know how much it is for an extra bag of small bag of pretzels. And, you know, to raise the price tomorrow just seems
The difficulty wrong. In providing this information is that we don't have our bid results until mid-July. So to be able to come back to you with that information, it would not have been accurate information. So when the bid cycle is done and we award the bids, that's when you know how much your costs are going to be. And they have never gone up this much in 1 year. I think this is a...
Sal?
I'm very happy that you're not looking to increase the pricing for the regular base lunches, which is good. But where do you see that going longer term? I could see, you know, from the pricing that you're looking at, if this price is sustained for quite some time, but do you anticipate raising the price on the base lunches?
I think eventually you'll have to. As I explained in the paperwork that you received, the federal government and state governments provide us with approximately $2.63 for a free or reduced meal, and that's what they believe it costs for it to be produced. When we have a paid meal, we're obtaining about $2 or $2.15 because we don't get the same amount of reimbursement for a paid meal. So we're actually have less money for every paid meal that we serve than we do for every free meal. It's no, it's what the federal it's what the federal government and state education department provide to us.
We have any other questions?
I would think that eventually the paid meal would have to come somewhere equal to what a free meal is being reimbursed for. But I would believe you'd do that in increments and not all at once.
Okay. Any other questions? I have a question, Bruce, regarding the fund balance. The fund balance has been that way for what, approximately a couple of years?
It's been increasing slightly for the last few years.
Is there any anticipation for future purchases not to use any of that fund balance, maybe for this software program or maybe to enhance the program we have? What I'm asking is that money in any way in the future going to be earmarked for something else? Or are we just keeping that as a fund balance?
If the board does not approve any prices, I guess that's the only way. We would have no other source of revenue but to use the fund balance.
What I'm asking really is that do you anticipate enhancing the food program in software and something else, mm-hmm. and will that money come out of the regular budget, general budget line, or will you be looking?
Oh, no. The cafeteria is self-operating. The general fund doesn't contribute. So if whatever the software or the food that goes into the cafeteria program, that's all contained within the $6 million budget of themselves.
Okay.
There's no general fund contribution.
Okay, so then anything in the future would have to probably come out of fund balance. Her fund balance.
If the board doesn't increase a price, that's correct.
Yeah, I understand that part, but I'm just thinking, and I've known Nancy would love to enhance the software program.
Yes.
And do many things that she's planned in for the future, but without impacting, it's not going to impact the general budget, it's going to impact her fund balance budget.
That's right.
Okay. Do we have any other questions? Okay. Motions on the floor for item number 4, approval of increase of 11. We had a first and a second. Did we count?
Yes.
All right. All in favor? Raise your hands. One, two, three, four. Against?
You
have the name? Yeah. Four is, please raise four, kids.
Four, yes.
Yes. Rob, Sal, myself. You're yes or no? And Mike Licata, or yes. And the balance was, so it's 5-4 against, if I'm correct. Okay. Okay, Nancy, you got to make it work. Best you can. Okay.
Nancy, did you want to bring up the software, where you are?
Oh.
Rob Scavo had asked a question about that and where you are with your software purchasing.
The software is under review. I've selected two of the programs that seem to be the best, and we have to go through a bidding process for them. And I would anticipate starting installation sometime in January. But that software will run about $50,000. It is in the equipment budget that was presented. And that's about what they're running.
Where's that stuff will be purchased through Eastern Center BOCES, I'm assuming?
Is this a BOCES? I don't know if there's.
They have specific programs. They don't have all of them.
The ones that you're considering are?
I believe NutriKids may be there, and QSP is one that is really an upgrade to the current one that we have. And we're trying to obtain the best software to meet to advance with this. And right now I'm looking into at least being able to attach credit cards to the current system we have until such time that we have a new one. But that is a third party provider.
Can I have the state aid on that? Bruce, would you come back? Did you get the state aid on that?
No. If there's not through BOCES, there's no BOCES aid.
But if we did choose one at BOCES, they offer,
it would be? We could get BOCES aid on, that's correct. It's about 45%. If it meets, well, I don't know about the credit card. No, that's, you know, we're trying where parents can pay online. They could use a credit card, which we don't have that option right now. The software we purchased was for $19.99. So we're looking for the next stage of this.
Okay.
No, it won't. I think it's more has to do with what it's going to provide us with. And, you know, it. If the software program provides more, we can expand our sales. We have always increased our sales every year to changing the program and improving the program. And I believe that if parents are able to check online information, that people may be more apt to utilize the program.
I mean, that was, to be quite honest with you, I mean, I brought it up 2 years ago. That was a big issue. Mm-hmm. I think a member contacted me and said, listen, I can't seem to, you know, find out what my son or my daughter's purchasing. And I want to have the ability to be able to see exactly
right.
what they're buying.
But in 2001, that ability didn't exist, and the particular company that we have our current software with hasn't made updates of their own.
The programs that you're looking at will give?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. Any other questions? Thank you very much, Nancy.
Okay.
Thank you, Nancy.
Okay. We have, Dr. Murphy, we have Excel Bond.
Well, I just wanted Bruce to give a little bit of the update, but we did solve the possible issue. So, Bruce.
Right. Approximately 2 weeks ago, the state sent all school districts a memo regarding turf fields that they might not be aidable. When we got clarification, what the intent was, that they're looking for a 15-year life of the turf field. So if the turf field, as the architects are now preparing it, if it lasts the 15 years, or even if it's 10 years and we got to renovate the crumb fields, that's the expected life. After 15 years, we could go out a brand new field and would be eligible for the aid. That's their interpretation.
Any questions on the aid?
Okay. The board had asked me to come back, and I was going to do this at the 17th meeting, but when a couple of things got taken off the agenda tonight, I added the security check-in system, just the costs that are involved. So the district preparations to get ready for this type of check-in system would cost about $24,000. And then it looks like the yearly expenses will be in the area of $26,000 a year for a total first-year cost of about $50,000. So I don't know if the board wanted to go ahead and work on this item or, you know, wait for the future.
Any discussion, Doug?
Dr. Murphy, do we have money in our budget this year to cover these expenses?
This wasn't a budgeted amount, but, you know, can you find it in the budget? Yeah, sure.
Okay. Anybody else? Anyone else want to? Sal?
We looked at two systems.
This is the system that would be a little bit more user-friendly in our district.
Had the printers right there.
Right there. It's not as intimidating as this big black kiosk. Right.
Doug?
Dr. Murphy, on the memo we have here, it has 18 laptops for each building, or one for each building. Do you want to start this in every building, or do you maybe want to take a couple of buildings and try it there first, get the feedback, and then implement the rest of the district? Because I would hate for us, just looking at this, to go and put them in every school and then find out down the line, we don't really like it, it's not doing what we want, and then we've spent all this money.
It's a good idea, Doug.
I mean, the most traffic we probably get is at the high schools, so maybe we try it at each high school first for the year, see how it goes, and then we budget for it next year, if it works.
You know, we can pilot it at a couple of buildings beforehand and then get back to the board if you wanted to do a district-wide purchase.
And the only thing that would change then really would be the district preparation.
Yeah, you'd may want to try it at an elementary school and then a middle school and a high school to get the feel for the different areas. Right. And again, this isn't going to do, if you have a huge assembly going on, say at a high school, you had 2,000 people, this isn't going to do it. This is for the daily type of visitors coming in and doing visitor passes. This isn't for the extreme basketball game to check in to see if a child predator or someone came in. This is one at a time type of system.
Rob?
I'm assuming that these prices are spec'd out on the quantity of laptops and piece of equipment. Will that number change if we only purchase just three?
This is based on our bids that we have out with BOCES.
So it doesn't matter how many units we buy, if we buy three?
Not really.
John?
Charlie, we don't have any surplus computers in the district that we can utilize?
You don't have too many laptops running around the district.
Okay. Now, if we're going to buy these laptops new, are we going to get Bosie's aid on them?
I can't remember what Jack said he was going to get these laptops, Bruce. We talked in our office.
He actually wanted to use this. There's a hardware code within the general fund budget, so we would get the aid on it.
So we would get it. So the $50,000, we'd be getting what, a portion of 21.6 back?
That's right. There's a ratio based on a per pupil expenditure, but we would be getting aid on it. That's correct.
Okay.
Jim?
Charlie, why would we need laptops for this as opposed to just desktops?
Well, you don't want to leave them out in the hallways. This is a security check-in system, but we would test our security in our lobbies awful quick at nighttime when they're all missing. Because unless you'd have to bolt down the computers in the hallway, and you've got night activities going on, people bouncing basketballs and all kinds of things, I don't think it would be that secure. You'd want something that you could pick up and take out each day and take in each day into the office.
Any other questions? I'd like to see the sense of the board right now for approving a pilot project for this year. This would be for, as Dr. Murphy suggested, one elementary, one middle school, one high school. We'll have to purchase the software, I imagine, will be the same, and we'll just have the three laptops and the three drops would be the cost for this year. Do we want to think about it anymore? Do we need a motion? Want a motion? John, do you want to?
A quick question.
Go ahead.
Yep. It's $432.
And the same thing with the annual database, $300 per laptop.
Yeah, these are the same costs they had last year, and I double checked with Raptor a few weeks ago.
Okay. Anybody want to make a motion? Sal, a second. Doug, any further discussion? All right. What's on the floor is to at this point have a pilot project for the security check-in system, one at each elementary, middle, and high school, and then we can see how it works this year, and then if it goes well, we can implement it in next year's budget and approve it. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimous. Okay. Mike, go ahead.
I'm wondering, once we take a look at this, is it possible for us to revisit this subject this year? You know, if the thing works out in the first month or the first 2 months, and we think that the expenditure is worth it, my only problem with the whole thing is, you know, instead of having three schools that we feel are a little bit more secure, you know, if the thing works out in the first month or so, I'd rather spend the money this year and get the rest of them done immediately. I'm in favor of Doug's idea of trying it out, but putting it off to next year to me is unacceptable.
How about we do this? We'll ask administration to come back in a month's time, give us a report, and at that point, if they're satisfied with it, we can move forward. Is that agreeable, Doug?
I'm agreeable to that, but Charlie, how long will it take to implement this at the three schools?
I don't know. It might even take a month the time software comes in and laptops and all these other things. But once it's up and running, I'll let the board know, and then we'll give it a time frame afterwards. Because even it's a month depends upon the month you install it. I mean, a month could be during a holiday time and you don't get many people coming through the buildings. And other times it could be a busy time. So there's going to be, and even this company said that there's going to be an initial reaction by people because they're not going to want to scan their licenses. That's just what people do. They don't want to hand over their ID. We have people, I was a principal in the district, that even when they're picking up their kids, they leave their identification home, and they generally don't like to be told that you can't pick up your child and you have to go produce some type of identification. So if you're looking for a license to scan, you're going to have some people resistance in the beginning. So you can expect that. That's the expected. And then you have to see how it goes after that. But it's how we're going to try to communicate it to parents using Connect Ed coupled with a letter to make sure that everyone understands that this is the expectation at the school.
Can we do this too? Seeing that there may be difficulty with some parents or some visitors, that the administration make up some type of written policy or instruction as to what the person at the door should do if somebody totally says, I'm not giving you my license. because that's going to have to be implemented throughout the district once, you know, once these things happen, we're going to have to do that.
Yeah, so it's going to be a burden then on the building principal, have to be called to deal with it, and then the call would be made, you know, if somebody's really upset about it, to district office, and right. We'll have to deal. So there'll be that. You'll know that'll happen from implementing something new. No matter what the intention is, which is a good intention, there'll be some negative feedback.
Okay.
Charlie, if I can,
yes, just
one recommendation, deciding on the three schools, I'd say try to make them in the same feeder pattern so that one parent with children at three different schools or two different schools has the same experience no matter what it is, versus somebody on the east side, the elementary school, versus and the middle school on the north side. So at least it's consistent with all the children that may have, yeah, in the district.
I could see that as an idea, yeah.
Okay. Yes, Kristen.
Yeah,
it's very, that's what I mean.
There are people that live in the district that don't have any formal identification.
There may have to be some procedure set up. Yeah, that they do not have it, it's going to have to be determined by the principal.
What's
is there a policy in place that requires you to show ID to pick up a child?
Yeah, you have to show identification to pick up a child.
I mean, I have to be honest with you. I mean, there's times that I pick my own child up at the elementary school, and I threw my wallet in the car, and they send me out to the car with the wallet. And I have no problem with that. I like the fact that the person doesn't know who I am and sends me out to the car. I mean, it makes me feel a little bit more secure, a little more safe, that they're taking the extra steps to make sure that the identity is
being. Yeah, and it's good that you feel that way. You understand, though, 2 years ago you were on the board when there was a Samoset incident here where somebody did want to show their identification and they picked up the phone and, you know, caused all sorts of problems.
Yeah.
So there will be people who won't want to do it. And, you'll just have to deal with them.
I think that's what this procedure we have in place now. We'll test. It's a test. We'll see how it goes.
I think
we'll,
it's a nice idea rather than going out and purchasing it and find out, like Douglas said, and then the whole thing falls apart.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
And then you feel like, you could always use the laptops, but you know, you feel
just
like you've spent.
Just a suggestion. We should probably pick the schools quickly, and then we have the open houses coming up. Might be a good idea to have the schools picked by the time the open houses come so we can let the parents know at open house as well. Just try to contact them as many ways as possible so
yeah.
They can't.
I'm guessing this is going to take about time you put purchase orders together and purchasing policies and all that. It's probably going to take about 2 months before you even get it going.
Well, no, I meant just to
no,
let
I understand.
Know
I understand. I understand.
That it's
that.
Coming.
Okay. Okay. We have any other visitors? No? Okay. At this point, we're going to go in executive session to discuss any future agenda items. Doug, that's why you raised your hand. I knew it. Go ahead, Doug.
Charlie, can we get a presentation in the near future on our elementary physical education and health curriculum, specifically having to do with what we're doing to combat childhood obesity?
Well,
or just an overview of it in general, and we can ask questions.
Yeah, one of the board goals was to address that this year, and so we're going to be gathering that, sitting down with Gary and John. They may already have the direction to start doing that, but we'll definitely provide that in the near future.
Any other future agenda items? Christine?
Sorry.
It's all right.
I actually just wanted to know if we could have some sort of a discussion on, obviously not this year, but next year's universal pre-K, which I think is a fabulous idea, obviously, but maybe how with the selection process of the families that are chosen, done maybe more on a need basis as opposed to a lottery system. Because there are some families who can't afford a pre-K program who weren't chosen, who their children are still not going, and people who could have afforded now are getting it for free.
I can give you the short answer on that.
Okay.
The state stipulated that you had to make it a lottery system in a random drawing. It didn't matter if you could have somebody whose family income is $1 million a year get in, mm-hmm. and somebody who's making who's unemployed be excluded. What they did say to do is to make an effort to get out to those parents who are needy. So we went to the laundromats and put up flyers, and we contacted the social workers in the buildings and tried to make sure that those parents put in for the lottery, and that there was a concerted effort to identify those kids and get them into the program. And that was the state's rules on how to use the $600,000.
So I was just curious, and I thought that maybe it could be used in better, because there are still children that aren't going.
Oh, I know. That's what we felt bad about it. One of the things I brought up to the superintendent, and I actually brought up to John Flanagan at a superintendent's legislative meeting, was that, because so you're giving us $600,000, and it could be going to people who really don't need the service, when you have these kids out there who would benefit greatly by it, and they may not be in attendance. And that hurts. I even got a phone call the other day from some man whose child didn't get in it, and he was very upset, and I didn't really know how to answer the question to him. So he said he was going to try to get into Middle Country. I said, that's another issue.
A bigger issue with this universal pre-K, as we know, and the audience may know too, is that the state gave us $600,000 to implement universal pre-K. And now, I've known from the past, the state does this. They give you the money the first year or the second, then they pull it from you, and now you have 2 years of universal pre-K, and now you have to pay for it. And that falls on the taxpayer. Unsubstantiated, unfunded mandates. That's what we have to be careful of. So during budget time, we're not going to know what the aid's going to be next year, but we have to be prepared if they do not, and again, if the board feels this way, if the state doesn't fund universal pre-K, are we going to continue with it? But that's a discussion for later. But
And then there's an option. If this district decided to fund it, then you could make up your own rules on it. The selection process.
But Dr. Murphy, as I understand, there was only 225 that covered the 600,000?
Originally 222, but the bid came in so well from the scope organization that we were able to include, I think, close to 270?
252 students are registered.
How many applied?
538.
All right, so we're talking about basically double the amount of money that would be needed if the state doesn't fund it?
Well, that's people who applied for the lottery. If you told everyone that you're going to have universal pre-K for everyone, you're going to get
$800. Yeah, this could run into quite a bit of money that's not funded by the state if we're not careful in thinking about during budget time. So just something to throw out to think about in the future.
Okay? And I put in the board packet this week, so it was a good question, Christine, about UPK, because I visited a couple of the classrooms today and earlier this week. They had some of their orientation. So I invite, if any of the board members do want to stop by one of the classrooms in the next couple of weeks, set up an appointment. Even during the year, you know, you're busy now, you know, set up an appointment. We'll bring you by. It's very interesting to see the little four-year-olds in there.
Okay. At this point, I need a motion to go into executive session to discuss personnel matters. Mike Timo. And John, I'd like to invite Ms. Pontius, if you please come to back with us, please. We will come out possibly for a vote. We're not sure, but we don't know how long it's going to take. Thank you.